south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
We all tell little white lies once in a while, don't we? You get pulled over by a cop, first thing you say is, "I didn't know I was speeding." Of course you did. And when your grandma says, "How do I look?" you tell her she looks like $1 million. In reality, it's $1.50. And even $1 million sure ain't what it used to be, huh? And when your wife or girlfriend says, "Do these pants make me look fat? You gonna step on that landmine?" Well, you know, I caught myself telling another white lie this weekend. By the way, that's one of the few things I disagree with Jordan Peterson on. He says you should never, ever tell a lie. Easy to say, especially when you get that question, "Do these pants make me look fat?" Anyway, you know, it's holiday time, and here in Latin America, you get invited to lots of house parties. And sometimes I found to get out of those things, to be able to leave early, you got to tell a little white lie. After all, and you'll find out if you're off the gringo tourist trail, sometimes being a gringo, you're the special guest of the party. So then how do you cut and run without hurting your host or hostess's feelings? And you know, when I'm at a house party and I just cannot take the reggaeton music anymore, I tell a little white lie and make up the usual excuses. And you know, normally I can tune it out. I've been down here long enough to be able to do that. Tune out that horrible reggaeton music, that is. But sometimes, especially at parties, they blast it so loud, it's like in a disco, and you can't even understand or talk to the person right next to you. So anyway, caught myself in that situation this weekend, and not only was the reggaeton driving me nuts, but the people at the party were beyond boring. That does happen, you know. Sometimes you're in a room full of mental midgets. So then what are you supposed to do? Pretend you're interested in TikTok videos or soccer? Am I sounding like a jerk yet? By the way, once again, I was the only gringo at the party. You know, I'm off the tourist trail, so that's how it usually shakes out. So then what about that little white lie? Well, I made the customary lies and excuses to the lady who was throwing the party, you know, to make a gracious exit so as to not insult her or seem like a party boomer. But you see, she must have picked up on the fact that the music was driving me nuts, maybe by the look on my face. Oh, and now you know, the latest thing in all the new reggaeton songs is to put in grunts and guttural sounds in lieu of actual words, a technique invented by that idiot fool Bad Bunny from Puerto Rico. Yeah, right, that's Puerto Rico's gift to humanity, reggaeton and Bad Bunny. Now, not to disparage even the lowliest of God's creatures, but come on. Bad Bunny? Seriously? I'm sure you've heard of that guy. Well, instead of having an actual vocabulary of words to draw on for his song lyrics, he throws in a lot of throaty, guttural sounds like eh, and nascent burp sounds. Hey, when you've only got two neurons firing between a spirochete, what else are you supposed to do when that 30-word vocabulary fails you? So anyway, the hostess of the party sort of detected the music was getting to me. So then she did something that occasionally happens. When there's a gringo or gringos at the party who appeared to be getting bored, if and when they detect you're just not getting into the music, they'll come up to you and ask you to select the next song. Man, I'll tell you, I've been in that position before, and I learned my lesson. At first, you think it's a good thing, a wonderful thing. You actually get to pick some real music. For a second, you're even thinking, cool, I'll show them. And you know, any song in the world is available these days. They're all getting them from YouTube and pumping them through a big stereo system, right? So when that first started happening to me, I'd pick a song from my favorite song catalog. And man, talk about throwing an instant wet blanket on the party. I learned early on with some embarrassment, you can't pick songs that you like, even when the host or hostess of the party insists. It's really a terrible catch-22. You pick something you like and you'll instantly kill the vibe of the party. By the way, that happens more often than you think because at lots of Latino parties, they'll pass the phone around and everyone will get to pick some numbers to put on the playlist. And it will end up in your hands. So my advice, don't get cute. I'm telling you right now, if you pick one of your favorites, even a classical favorite you think everyone knows, like from The Who, The Beatles, Pink Floyd, Queen, even a famous disco number from the disco days, that you're absolutely sure everyone knows and loves, I'm telling you, you'll stop the party cold. Now, of course, Latinos are very polite and forgiving, much more so than gringos and expats, and they won't say anything, but you'll certainly notice an instant change in the atmosphere. And even if you pick a song you think is a really good dance number, because, you know, Latinos are always dancing and busting a move, people will quickly stop dancing, go back to their seats, and you'll feel like a fool. And when your song, Stairway to Heaven, Bee Gees, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Van Halen, another one, Bites the Dust, whatever, kicks in on that playlist, it'll be the longest 4 minutes of your life. Oh, and believe me, over the years, I've modified my stance on what songs I'll pick when my turn comes around. I don't pick any of my favorite songs anymore because that would be a big mistake. Instead, I pick a song I kind of like or can tolerate that I know Latinos will keep dancing to and it won't shut the party down. Like, for example, that old standby, the Macarena. Yeah, I know that song's a complete cliche, but there's such a thing as nostalgia in the Latin culture, too. Just like right now, certain gringos have nostalgia for the 80s and 90s and certain disco songs. And that comes and goes, just like nostalgia for fashion. You know, the hippie thing comes and goes, and bell bottoms come and go. There seems to be about a 20-year nostalgia cycle in fashion, culture, and media. It works like that in Latin America, too. In Latin America right now, there seems to be nostalgia for that era when the Macarena was big in the early 90s. There is a big wave of nostalgia for 90s Latin rock, too, like Maná, Enanos Verdes, and a lot of other Latin rock groups that most gringos and expats never heard of. All right, so then what's a safe song to pick when it's your turn? A song that won't kill the party? I'm talking about songs that you might like a little bit yourself. Songs that aren't rap or reggaeton and won't drive you nuts. Well, pretty much anything by Shakira, Beyonce, or J-Lo, though not in my top 10 or even top 50 by any means. Still, you gotta hand it to those ladies, they've got real talent. So even if they're not on your top 100 or top 500 list, you gotta hand it to them. They made it to the top on their talent, not because of their piercings, tattoos, or gold teeth. Funny how their lyrics are conspicuously free of drugs, cops, guns, hoes, violence, and money. You know, just saying they made it to the top, despite the fact they rarely sing about ghetto, gangsta subjects. By the way, the default option when you're asked to pick a song is to just plead ignorance and defer to the person who's asking. Have them pick one for you. By the way, a couple of years ago, I was at an event at the Hard Rock Hotel in Panama City, Panama. I was with a musician friend of mine from the States. He's a fairly famous session musician. You probably wouldn't know his name, but he was on lots of hit records, playing the guitar and doing the arrangements back in the Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, and Boy George days in the 90s. Anyway, he told me he was hired to do some session work by the famous reggaeton guy in L.A. about 3 years ago. You've heard of that fool, one of the originators of reggaeton, Daddy Yankee. He told me that at a session, Daddy Yankee said to him, "You've been around, you've played on some hits, you think you could write a reggaeton song?" And the gringo session musician said to me he was thinking, but he never said out loud, "Me? Write a reggaeton song? Are you serious?" That'd be like asking Einstein if he knew how to balance his checkbook. Then I said to my musician buddy, "Why were you just thinking it? Why didn't you say it out loud?" To his face. My buddy said, number one, he was paying me. And number two, I would have had to have explained who Einstein was. Good one, huh? So we're talking about little white lies. How many have you told lately? All right, now here's some good news. Since we're doing our seminar in Guatemala and El Salvador, comes today's news out of Guatemala. I'm reading from the Prensa Libre, which is a Spanish language big newspaper in Guatemala City. It says, Guatemala's electoral season heats up ahead of next year's presidential election, with candidates signaling, all of them, that if elected, they will implement the hardline policies that have worked so well in President Bukele's El Salvador, a country directly to the south of Guatemala. In fact, they quote one of the presidential candidates in Guatemala saying, quote, "Bukele's government is Central America's new example. It's an exercise in leadership that all of Central America should follow." Yeah, isn't it funny when he first got in there and announced all his hardline programs and crackdown on gangs and the adoption of Bitcoin as legal currency? Every government worldwide, as well as every Latin American government, put out press releases saying, "It won't work, it can't be done, it's foolish, it's just election rhetoric, etc., etc." They said it was all talk, and even if implemented, it wouldn't work. And in the end, who gets the last laugh? Well, isn't it funny? Now government officials are kissing Bukele's ass. They want to know how he did it. They want to copy that plan. Well, nothing succeeds like success, huh? And you know, since my upcoming March Expat Insider Seminar will partially be held in El Salvador, there are some things you just have to know about the huge changes that are happening in that country. So please, shit can all the fake news you've been hearing about El Salvador. That's all bought and paid for by governments and banksters who own the international media. You know they absolutely hate the fact that El Salvador made Bitcoin legal tender. And you know, the funny thing is I've come to the realization that there are lots of really smart people I know. They're so smart, even brilliant, in their own limited fields of expertise. But they're totally ignorant, or at least insufficiently educated, about Bitcoin, blockchain, and the rest of the cryptocurrencies. You heard me say in a past show, you need 3 to 5 hours of studying the blockchain and Bitcoin to know the difference between Bitcoins, shitcoins, those tokens you hear about all the time, and the difference between centralized and decentralized cryptos. Undereducated people like to lump them all together, but there are huge differences. So once again, in an attempt to educate this audience, which is pretty smart, by the way, there's one glaring fact you might not want to hear, but if you lump in Bitcoin with all the other cryptocurrencies, that means you understand very little about cryptocurrencies in general. It's simply a matter of decentralization versus centralization, and Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency that's decentralized. That means there's not a single person or entity that controls it. The software is running on thousands and thousands of computers right now all over the world. Now, you may have known that already, but if you don't understand the concept of decentralization versus centralization, you've completely missed the huge impact Bitcoin has on the entire financial system. Why do you think El Salvador and other nations are coming on board too? They've made Bitcoin, not Ethereum, not Cardano, XRP, or Polygon, or Tether, or any of the other ones, legal tender. Just Bitcoin. Have you ever wondered about that? By the way, the US dollar is 100% centralized. It's owned and operated by the Fed. Just a few guys at the Fed control the entire money supply. They can print as much as they want, and they do. They control the interest rate for lending and borrowing, which controls the demand. I know. You knew that already. But back to the idea that El Salvador chose Bitcoin as legal tender, not any of the other 5,000 or 10,000 other cryptocurrencies, aka shitcoins. Well, that's because it's the only one that's completely decentralized. That means no one can control it. And it's got an absolute number that can never be issued, 21 million. All the other cryptos, which are centralized, can be mined forever and ever. There's no limit as to the amount that can be produced. Sound familiar? Yeah, just like the US dollar, right? Now, El Salvador chose Bitcoin as legal tender because the president, Bukele, he understands the difference between Bitcoin and the other cryptos. Oddly enough, in that little third world country, he's got highly educated people around him. So he and his cabinet are outliers for sure. Since, as a rule, all other third world country governments and first world too are just a bunch of corrupt parasites who are only in office for the power and to line their own pockets. I always say when you get into office, you might as well call it the Friends and Family Full Employment Act. But you know, there's always exceptions to the rule, right? Here's another tip. Be very leery of people who say, I wonder what's going to be the next Bitcoin. Or they'll say something like, you got to buy maggot coin or hangnail coin. It's the next Bitcoin. The thing is, people who say things like that have a very incomplete education about crypto, blockchain, and Bitcoin in general. Because there's only one completely decentralized cryptocurrency with an absolute limit to the numbers that can be produced, 21 million. There will be no other next Bitcoin. There's just Bitcoin. Every other crypto on the planet is centralized. There's a small group of people controlling it. And that small group of people who created it kept a huge quantity for themselves. Whether it's maggot, hangnail, blood clot coin, whatever. When they release it to the general public, that small group, that handful of people become instant millionaires. For example, let's say I write the software to produce 2 million Johnny coins, and I keep a million of them for myself. I release a million on the market, at 1 cent a piece, let's say. And suddenly, all the marketing and financial services pick up on the fact there's a Johnny coin out there. It starts showing up on crypto exchanges, and it gets bid up to 2, 3, 4 cents, up to a buck, let's say. All of a sudden, with practically nothing invested at all, I'm a millionaire. And then once it catches on, I can release Johnny Coin tokens, a second layer on top of those Johnny Coins that can be redeemed for Johnny Coins. Are you getting this? That's why they're called shit coins. Oh, and then there's the fact that since I have the software I created them, I can create more anytime I want. None of that is true with Bitcoin. But back to El Salvador, one of the stops on my next Expat Insider Seminar in March. Now, if you're going to get ahead in the world in advance in this digital revolution, the digital financial revolution, you really have to know about this new concept in El Salvador called volcano bonds. You may have heard about them, but do you know the details? So let me paraphrase and read a couple of really interesting excerpts from an article called Volcano Bonds in El Salvador, An Imminent Paradigm Shift, What It Means to the Financial World. This is short, very interesting, and not boring, so bear with me. It starts out by saying, El Salvador made history in September 2021 when it became the first country in the world to recognize Bitcoin as legal currency. Now it's taking Bitcoin to the next level. Its next project, called the Volcano Bond Project, has the potential to reinvent the entire securities market, starting with the shakeup of the $100 trillion traditional bond market. Last year, El Salvador's President Bukele made a stunning announcement. He made a compelling case for how El Salvador could become the financial center of the world, the Singapore of Latin America, by revolutionizing the age-old traditional bond market. And here's how he plans to do it. This year, in 2023, El Salvador plans to issue $1 billion in 10-year bonds with a 6.5% coupon via the Liquid Network, a second-layer network built on Bitcoin that allows for the issuance of tokenized securities like bonds. This signifies a complete paradigm shift in the global securities market if El Salvador can pull it off. Let's break it all down to understand how vast the implications are. Typically, a country's government like El Salvador would have three very unattractive choices to borrow money when necessary. Number one, go to Wall Street investment banks like Goldman Sachs to issue debt and watch them take a huge cut. Number two, borrow money from the IMF or World Bank and accept whatever conditions and austerity measures they impose. Option number three, borrow money from China at unfavorable terms, usually involving the pledging of critical infrastructure or mining rights as collateral if they default. But now there's a brand new option, issuing volcano bonds. By issuing bonds on this so-called liquid network, El Salvador cuts out the expensive middlemen, keeps 100% of the proceeds, and doesn't lose its sovereignty to the IMF, the US, or China. It's a game changer that the IMF, the US government, and China, understandably, are not happy about. It's called rocking the boat. It's a new paradigm where they won't get their cut. So then, how did El Salvador get the idea? Well, Bitcoin pioneer and former securities dealer Max Keiser, you probably heard that name, you might have a love-hate relationship with him. Personally, me, Johnny, I like the guy, his brain, and what he stands for, but I hate his voice. He sounds like Kermit the Frog who's just been kicked in the balls. But he really is a brilliant guy. Anyway, about a year and a half ago, he suggested on Twitter that El Salvador ditch the IMF, the US, and China, and instead harness its volcanic geothermal energy via Bitcoin mining to back a new kind of bond debt offering, a kind that's never been offered before. Well, by chance, El Salvador's President Bukele noticed the tweet and started engaging with Max Keiser to turn the idea into a reality. So then, about a year ago, Max Keiser and his wife, Stacey Herbert, moved to El Salvador permanently to help the government with the offering and other Bitcoin initiatives too. Then President Bukele set up the National Bitcoin Office of El Salvador and appointed Stacey, Keiser's very smart wife, as the head of it. Now, what you probably didn't know is Max Keiser and his wife, Stacey, have been in Bitcoin since it was less than a buck. And they've created more Bitcoin millionaires than anyone else. As a result, they built up a huge following with a platform that reaches millions of people. In short, President Bukele couldn't have picked better partners to get the country rolling on this Bitcoin bond initiative since Max Keiser worked on Wall Street for years and was involved in rolling out many traditional bond issues. He's just the right guy. On top of that, Max Keiser and his wife have been around Bitcoin since the earliest days and they know how to spot bad actors. No doubt they'll help El Salvador develop a robust immune system to keep crypto scammers away. So anyway, here's how it works. El Salvador will do two things with the $1 billion it intends to raise from the volcano bonds. Number one, they'll take half of it and buy $500 million worth of Bitcoin at the current price. After 5 years, in 2028, El Salvador will sell enough Bitcoin to recoup the $500 million initial purchase. Any remaining Bitcoin will be shared equally with the bondholders till maturity, which will be in another 5 years, 10 years total. But of course, that presumes Bitcoin price will be higher 5 years from now, which is a very reasonable bet. Actually, almost a no-brainer. So then after the initial 5-year period, there'll be 20 quarters remaining until the bond's maturity. in 2033. Remember, they're 10-year bonds maturing in 2033. So then each quarter, El Salvador will take 1/20th of the bondholders' remaining Bitcoin. That's after they recoup their $500 million initial purchase and sell it at the market rate. Those proceeds will accumulate for a year. Then on January 1st of each year, El Salvador will distribute those shared profits to the bondholders, along with the annual coupon payment of 6.5%. So, for example, suppose El Salvador buys 30,000 Bitcoin with the initial $500 million investment. Then 5 years later, let's say those 30,000 Bitcoins are worth $1 billion because Bitcoins doubled in value during that time. At that point, El Salvador will sell half of them, 15,000 Bitcoin, to recoup the initial investment. El Salvador would then share the remaining 15,000 Bitcoins equally with all the bondholders, which means bondholders have a claim to 7,500 Bitcoins. At that point, 20 quarters will remain until the bond's maturity. El Salvador will take the 7,500 leftover Bitcoins allocated to the bondholders and sell an equal amount each quarter. That would be 375 Bitcoins until maturity. The other 7,500 Bitcoins assigned to El Salvador are for whatever the government decides to do with them. For example, they could sell or add to them or put them into the Bitcoin treasury, whatever the government decides. Now, that's just a conservative example if Bitcoin doubles in the next 5 years. But Bitcoin could easily go up 10 times or more by 2028. That's the nature of Bitcoin. It's done it many times before and will do it again. Though nobody can predict for sure, and though there have been some big blowouts, the trend is consistently upward. Anyway, suppose Bitcoin goes up 10 times in the next 5 years. That would mean the initial $500 million worth of Bitcoin would have grown to $5 billion. Then, after recouping the initial $500 million, 27,000 Bitcoins would remain to be split between the bondholders and El Salvador for the next 5 years. And in those remaining 5 years, it's possible Bitcoin could go up another 10x. It's quite possible that no other bond currently on the market could ever compete with that kind of upside potential, which is why volcano bonds will be so interesting to big institutional bond market investors. So then, what about the volcano Bitcoin mining infrastructure? They have to be mined, you know. Well, the other $500 million in proceeds from the $1 billion issuance will build Bitcoin mining and other infrastructure. This money will finance facilities to use the country's abundant geothermal energy from volcanoes to mine Bitcoin. That's why they're called volcano bonds. Geothermal experts in the country say that just one project like that will provide about 95 megawatts of 100% zero emissions geothermal energy from volcanoes. That means the environmentalists and climate change guys will really love this project. As a result, the Bitcoin mining infrastructure will monetize El Salvador's endowment of natural energy and provide the country with the stream of Bitcoin income. A continuous stream, too. All coming from volcanoes that previously were just interesting to look at, but adding nothing to the economic value of the country. Now remember, if you buy these bonds, in addition to the shared Bitcoin upside after 5 years, volcano bonds will pay 6.5% annually for the entire 10-year term of the bond. But there's another very unusual aspect to the issuance of these bonds. They're affordable for everyone. The minimum investment will be just $100. And that's only possible because El Salvador is issuing the bonds through the Lightning Liquid Network. That brings unprecedented access to ordinary people who could never afford traditional bonds and wouldn't even know how to invest in them if they suddenly had the means. Because remember, most bond offerings are done through large financial institutions with high minimums and are much more complicated for average investors to participate in. How many people do you know that are invested in bonds? Oh, and investors can fund their bond purchases with Bitcoin, US dollars, or the stablecoin Tether. Oh, and here's another great perk. With those who invest $100,000 or more in these bonds, get this, you'll qualify for permanent residency in El Salvador. And after 5 years, you'll qualify for citizenship and nationality. You'll get a passport. Are you getting this, all you expat gonna-bes and wannabes out there? You invest 100 grand in this bond issuance. Remember, you're not losing it. You're not shoving it down a black hole. You'll have huge potential upside, plus a 6.5% coupon rate paid every year. And you qualify for instant permanent residency. Of course, you know the word instant in Latin America has a different meaning than instant up in the first world because of manana time and all that. But my guess is it'll take between 3 and 6 months before you get your cédula. You know, that plastic laminated residency card. Oh, and since El Salvador is issuing those volcano bonds on the Liquid Network, the bonds will trade 24/7, 365 days a year, and clear immediately. So, for example, if you want to buy, sell, or trade a bond at 10:30 at night on Easter Sunday, you'll be able to do so. No waiting for markets to open, as with traditional bonds. So then what about Bitcoin City? You've heard there's such a thing happening in El Salvador, right? That's where El Salvador is creating another golden opportunity. It's crafting the world's first digital securities law, enabling El Salvador to regulate digital assets with the clear intention to make it as easy and business-friendly as possible. The bill's already been submitted to Congress and expected to pass early in the new year. So it's been estimated that El Salvador will issue volcano bonds sometime in Q1 of 2023. So as far as Bitcoin City, El Salvador is going for the Dubai model, offering attractive terms for businesses and skilled expats. And since Bitcoin exchanges and other firms are location independent, many are already flocking to El Salvador, just as financial institutions went to Singapore, Hong Kong, and Dubai for similar reasons. So this plan involves a Bitcoin City located on the Pacific coast and the Gulf of Fonseca. We'll be checking it out at the next Expat Insider Seminar in March. And President Bukele promises that Bitcoin City will have no income taxes, no corporate taxes, no property taxes, no payroll taxes, and no other taxes of any kind except a 10% VAT or value-added tax that's always been tacked on to every purchase in El Salvador anyway. So Bitcoin City will have residential and commercial areas, an airport, entertainment, restaurants, etc., etc. Oh, and to finance the construction of Bitcoin City, there'll be other volcano bond issues coming. So then do I, me, Johnny, recommend volcano bonds? Well, I'm not giving financial advice, but every Bitcoin owner I know, and all the engineers and nerds I know too, and I know a ton of them, they're all talking about it and anxiously awaiting that bond issue. And of course, the icing on the cake, besides the elimination of all those taxes and 6.5% coupon, is that instant residency thing. Oh, and remember, we'll be in Guatemala and El Salvador for my March 2023 Expat Insider Seminar. That means we'll be answering your questions up front and personal. We'll be talking to a number of experts down there, so here's your chance to see it and hear it right from the horse's mouth. Oh, and keep in mind, you'll get in on the $500 early bird discount if you sign up before February 1st. That gives you a couple of weeks to get on board. For pricing and all info, just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. That's expatplanb.com.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.